Are you one of these people who wants to get out into your community, wants to get out to know people, and you hear about networking events and community events and that type of thing? You've downloaded all the free PDFs about how to connect with people and to introduce yourself to people, but you still have a real pit in your stomach about just walking into a room and introducing yourself to strangers? You are so not alone. That is not a situation that I think most people are comfortable with. And there are some people who really, if you give them a task of going to a networking event, even with instructions, they're just not going to feel comfortable. And quite frankly, they're not going to be good at it because they don't feel comfortable. That is something that so many people can relate to. And on the Focal Points podcast today, we're going to be talking about networking from your heart and how if you switch the flip in your mind about how you think about these networking events and how you approach working with others in an effort to grow your business, you will see success. So let's talk about it today on the Focal Points podcast. Welcome to Focal Points, an Enphoto podcast hosted by me, Dori Howell. This is the place to be if you want to ditch the overwhelm in your business and start creating a business that you love. Well, welcome to the podcast. An interesting thing has happened in my business lately, and I've really taken a backseat into how much I post on social media and how much time I'm putting into emailing my clients and that type of thing. And part of it has been out of necessity just because I've found myself in a very, very busy time of life. I took on a new role that I'm going to talk to you about today and how that's going to, in the long term, grow my business. But right now I'm really stuck in the weeds with it. But I'm so excited about this new challenge and this new opportunity. Now, the name of this podcast is called Networking from the Heart. And in the introduction you heard, like, and I'm sure most of you can relate to the fact that like walking into a room with strangers, telling them about your business, asking them to hire you or trying to connect to see if they'll hire you in the future can come off not so authentic. It can be a little cringy. It can be a bit uncomfortable. It can be awkward. And if some of you struggle with feeling that way anyway, maybe networking in that type of situation isn't the thing for you. And I think it's perfectly okay to say, you know what, I'm not going to be good at that. So there's two examples of this that I want to share with you. I was recently coaching with one of my students, and in one call, we had totally outlined a networking plan for her. Who she could call, what she should say, how she should act, what she should do. It was all laid out for her. And then at the next call, I just kind of had a moment where I said, you know, you're not going to do that, are you? And she just kind of shook her head and was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I said, that doesn't feel authentic to you, does it? She said, no. And I said, well, let me help you out. Okay, let's look at this from a totally different perspective. So I wanted to share with her something that I've started recently that I really felt could help her. So most of you know that I have a daughter. She's in high school and she's part of the cheer program in high school, which is part of the athletic program. And most of us know that the money that we get from our local regions, counties, etc., do not cover all the fees that our students encounter when they are in school. Right? It doesn't matter what program you're in. Someone's always looking for money. There's never enough. So booster programs go to boost the money that is received from the county or the town and kind of lessen the gap. So let's say the cheer team needs more uniforms or new uniforms, and those cost $3,000. But in the budgeted money, they've only been allotted $1,800 from the county to get new uniforms. Now, the cheer team could say, okay, well, I guess we're only going to get new uniforms for half of our girls. Or they would say, they will call on the boosters, ask for to find money to bridge that gap and stretch those dollars further. So I was somewhat involved in the boosters last year. I went to a couple meetings, met with some people, but they were kind of at the tail end of the year by the time I really got into it, and they didn't really need my help too much. But one person that I had met with was their sponsorship director, and he was responsible for going out to all the businesses in the community and raising money for the boosters to try and find funds to bridge the gap between the need and what we get from the county, right? And it just so happened that he asked me to do something, not unlike walking into a networking room, but it was just a job that I knew I wasn't going to be good at. And it wasn't something that I was excited about. And that's what he really, really wanted me to do. And we're having this discussion and he says, okay, so this is what we need you to do, all these different types of things. And he started kind of getting into the nitty gritty and I knew I wasn't going to be good at it. So instead of sitting there being like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll do it. I just said, you know what? I think we need to hold up for a minute. As much as I appreciate that there's a need for someone in this role, I am not that person. And I said, this is not something that I would be good at. And I probably would drop the ball. I'm not that detail oriented. I'm not that good about running reports, keeping up on things. I just want to be really honest with you. I'm more of a big picture person. And this particular role is not something that I feel I could serve the boosters best with. And he was a little bit irritated with me, I think. He's a nice enough guy. But the fact that I said no to something that he really needed someone to do, I think kind of rubbed him the wrong way. And it's all fine now. But I really wanted to be in a position of getting in front of businesses and going out and finding the money for the kids where the kids needed it. And he didn't want me to do that. I shouldn't say that he didn't want me to do this because actually he might hear this podcast. It appeared to me that that was not where he wanted me to help out the most. And I respected that. And then summer broke and we didn't have a lot of contact. And so the first Brewster meeting happened and the president came out to me and said, hey, we've had a problem with this person, the person who was in charge of the sponsorships that wanted me to do that role that I didn't want to do because actually in reality, I knew I would be best suited for his role, but I wasn't in a situation to like bump anyone. That wasn't my intention at all. And he came out to me and says, you know, the person who was in this role before had a family emergency and is going to be out of town for a couple months. Will you step in? Yeah, I will totally step in. And the reason why I wanted to step in was for a few things. One, I knew I would be really good at it. It was absolutely in my wheelhouse of what the skills that I have and the things that I'm good at. I knew I would be good at it. Two, it put me in a situation where I was going to be talking to business owners and everything about the high school, but I was also going to be getting to know them. So they were going to find out that I was a photographer. I do branding and corporate headshots. Who do I want to talk to? Business owners. So it put me right where I wanted to be. And through that person's unfortunate circumstances, I got put in his role. And I'm good at it. I'm just going to say that I know I'm good in this role. I go out, I meet with current sponsors, then I go and I meet with prospective sponsors, see if they want to come in and support the school. Now, it's very, very interesting when it comes to networking from your heart. It's very, very easy for me to go out into the community, talk to businesses that I've never spoken to before, and ask them to support the high school and the students at the high school because I'm not as emotionally attached to that product as I am to my photography. How many of us struggle with raising our prices on our work and doing all the things that we need to do in our business because we feel like we're being salesy. We feel like we're not worthy of the price that we demand. But if we went to Target or Best Buy or something like that and got a job and a TV was $10,000, we wouldn't have a problem telling someone that the TV was $10,000 because that's just the price. We didn't set it. We have no emotional attachment to that. So I truly believe that there's a connection there with our business. Our business is as a photographer and business as doing something from a charity perspective like I'm doing. And the fact that I don't have a problem asking these businesses for money because I truly believe it's what's in the best interest of the students to get as many sponsors as possible. I need to take that attitude and that energy into my actual business and realize that my family is worth charging that much. My family is worth that time. But that's a conversation for another time. I just find that really, really interesting. But if you're interested in growing your business and you want to meet people face to face, but you don't want to do it in that traditional quote unquote networking way, I have something here for you that I know you're going to love. Let's talk about it after this word from our fabulous sponsor, Enphoto. Are you tired of generic photo albums that don't do your stunning images justice? Now, trust me, I have ordered samples from almost every lab, literally every lab. I have a stack of them probably 50 albums high in my storage room, and I love Enphoto's albums. I have seen them all. You need to look no further than Enphoto's range of beautifully handcrafted albums made with the finest materials. These albums are the perfect way to showcase your photos in a way that truly, truly makes you look like an awesome photographer. And the best part, as a listener of the Focal Points podcast, you can get a 75% discount on your first sample album by signing up for an account using the link in our show notes. Visit focalpointspodcast.com and start showing your work off in a beautiful, beautiful way. Okay, so hopefully I've piqued your interest about how to lead with your heart when it comes to networking for your business. How exactly does this work? What exactly does this mean? Well, the first thing you need to do is you need to find a charity that you can be passionate about. I can be passionate about school athletics because my daughter is a school athlete and I'm passionate about her and I want to see whatever she does have the best chance of succeeding. But maybe you don't have a child or maybe they're not involved in something that really this would relate to. There's so many areas where you can become involved and here are just a few. Maybe you're passionate about people who have medical needs that aren't being supported in our community. Or maybe you have a passion for people dealing with hunger and food insecurity. Maybe you're passionate about the environment and you want to work in conservation. Maybe you're passionate about education and literacy or animal welfare or housing and homelessness or disaster and relief and humanitarian aid, youth and family services, arts and culture. Maybe you're passionate about our aging population or veterans and military families. What about social justice, LGBTQ rights and support groups? What about sports and recreation? That's where I fit. There are so many different buckets where you can look, where you can say, I want to help here. We know we can't help everywhere, but I know that if I put some time into this, I'm going to meet a lot of people who are like-minded like me. They're going to see what I do, and hopefully they will hire me. Now, here's a word of warning. You can't go into these heart-led networking things thinking, I only want them to hire me. So out of the 12 things that I just listed, find something that you really, really are passionate about and you really want to help in. Trust me, that's super, super important. You need to have a passion for the organization that you want to work with. Now, everything I just listed, education, animal welfare, housing and homelessness, disaster relief, youth and family services, arts and culture, seniors and aging, all of those things. Every single one of them in my area probably has about 100 nonprofits attached that I could go work for. So you just can't be like, okay, well, I want to help the animals. So what does that look like? Well, if you want to help the animals, there's different ways that you can become involved. And there's a lot of different organizations. You can start with animal shelters or rescue organizations. You can look about getting involved in wildlife conservation and protection groups. You can niche down and be someone who wants to help out dog training organizations. Or what about spaying and neutering programs? There's a lot of these things. So out of every one of those things that I listed, underneath it, there's probably about 5 or 6 buckets where you could look to become involved. All right. Now, how do you get involved? I'm going to say this, and I say this all the time. I've been saying this since I've been teaching photographers whenever it comes to volunteering in their community. Do not lead with your camera. Let me say that again. Do not lead with your camera. They can find photographers on every single corner that will come shoot their events for free. I have shot a lot of events for free. Not one of them that I have photographed for free have I ever been hired for a paying job from. I've never gotten referrals from those jobs. Where I have gotten referrals is where I have come in and helped, or where I have paid a little money and sponsored a table for something, or purchased an ad, where I'm not the help, quote unquote. The help doesn't get hired or referred out in most cases, especially by the people who are there. The people who are actually involved in doing the work and helping with the mission of the organization, that's where you're going to find a lot of things. So how do you get involved if it's not with your camera, right? This is why I told you need to have a passion for this very, very clearly. So how do you get involved? How do you find these organizations, first of all? You can do quick Google searches. You can go to websites like volunteermatch.org. There's idealist.org. You can maybe go through your Chamber of Commerce to find volunteer organizations. But before you do that, identify your skills and your interests. So think about how you want to help. So what do you enjoy doing and what skills do you have that would benefit others in these roles? So for me, I'm really good at connecting with others, making people feel comfortable, showing appreciation for people who give their money or give of their time. I have a way of connecting with people fairly quickly. That means I'm better face-to-face than I am behind a desk. I just know that. I have a big smile. I can welcome people in. I can make people feel comfortable. I'm better being more of a face person, okay? Can I do this stuff behind the scenes? Yes, I can do this stuff behind the scenes. I don't mind doing this stuff behind the scenes, but I know where my skill set lies. So research locally, identify your skills and interests, and then you reach out to the organization and you contact them directly and you ask about their specific needs first. What do they need? And can you help in those areas? You're trying to find a great match here. You coming in and saying, oh, I know how to run email lists, when they have three people who know how to run email lists, is probably not going to be very fulfilling for you. But if you come in and you say, you know what, I'm really good at doing this particular thing, and it really could be as simple as, I'm not even joking, working with an animal shelter and saying, I'm really good at doing laundry. Guess what? All those blankets in those kennels probably need to be washed sometimes. They might need someone who needs to do the laundry. It doesn't have to be something that's really, really complicated. So here's the other thing. So you have to do your research. You have to identify your skills and your interests. You need to reach out. And then fourth, you need to stay committed and you need to let them know you're in this for the long haul. It's just not a hit to try and get a little bit of attention and walk away. That was me for the Boosters. I literally had to hunt the president of the Boosters Club down. I emailed him, I texted him, I asked other people around the school about him, how to contact him. And then all of a sudden one night, there he was in the hallway and I literally ran after him to introduce myself. People who run these organizations are busy and they want the help. But honestly, sometimes it needs to show up in front of their face and make them stop for them to realize, oh, someone is here who wants to help me. So be persistent and be committed. All right. So what are some roles? Like what did some things happen within the scope of these charitable organizations? There's lots of different roles. And the bigger the organization, the more layers they have, just like the bigger company, the more layers they have in management and everything. But here's a few things that I think would be great matches for people wanting to become involved in an organization and wanting to lead with their heart, but also have access to the people that they might want to have hire them in the future. So for me, they have like corporate sponsorship coordinators or sponsorship directors, anyone who's working with the businesses. Fundraising is another great one. Business outreach, there's all these different things. Then you get into social responsibility volunteers and that type of thing. Event sponsorship volunteer. So sometimes organizations have large corporate donors for just operating expenses, but then they have a specific event where they need sponsorship help. You can join and help with a specific event. And then you have event volunteer coordinators. You're in with the people. That's a great one. If you're working for a big, big organization, like say Susan G. Komen, and they have these breast cancer walks and everything, and there's tons of people and they need lots of volunteers. You being a volunteer coordinator is a great way for you to meet a lot of people and to get out in front and make those connections with people. Sometimes they need help writing grants. Say you're a great writer, help them write grants to earn more money. Maybe sometimes they need help filling volunteer positions within the organization. Again, that could be something that you would be really good at. Then you have the higher level things like board members, advisory committees. So all of those areas can help you find a spot within some of these organizations so you can help. So then it comes down to, okay, Dory, this is all well and great. You told me how to find these people, and I'm going to be donating so much of my time to this organization. How is that ultimately going to filter down and help my business? That's the question of the hour, right? Here is how you make that work. And I choose to do it very subtly. I don't tell people what I do. In fact, in this booster's role, there's probably not a lot of people who knew what I did until, funny story, I was looking at the booster's president's name and I'm like, I know him. And then I met his wife and I'm like, I know him. And he and I get together weekly to go over where we are with fundraising and everything. And we'll either meet at his office, at my house, at his house, just, you know, at the school, various places. And one of the first weeks we did this, we met at his home. And I went there and his wife works from home and he works from home. And I went over and I just kept thinking, I know these names. Where do I know these names? Well, I walk into the house and I turned and I looked at the wall and I just smirked and I didn't say anything right away. Took off my shoes, greeted the dog, how you doing and everything. And I said, hey, don't I look familiar to you? He's like, yeah. He said, my wife and I, we just can't place it, but we know, like, you're so familiar. And I pointed to the wall and I said, well, I took that picture, what, 10 years ago? I had photographed him and his family 10 years ago. And now I was working with him in the Boosters Club, Booster organization, very, very closely. It was hysterical. And give me a, you know, somebody saying, Dory, you can't remember, you know, a client. This was over, I think, 10 years ago. And this was when I was doing family photography. I don't even do really family photography anymore. And I look up on the wall and they still have that same family picture. And you know what? That's the last family photo session that they had. And I asked him, I said, is that the last family picture you had? Because that was the most recent one they had hanging on the walls. He's like, yeah, I think so. And I just kind of looked at him and said, don't you think it's about time for another one? He's like, yeah. So then I looked across and then his wife came up from the basement because she was working and he told her, like, we put it all together and we were just laughing about, you know, how people that you never think you're going to see again, especially in the same community, you will see again, your paths will cross again, and you will never, ever know how it happens. And the older I get, the more I realize how much I need to be cognizant of that in how I act and how I treat people, because I never know how these paths will cross again. So if you're really young and maybe you've burned some bridges in your community, just know that sometimes these things do come around and you just have to be ready for it when it happens. And he was really gracious. We had a great experience. I actually loved the pictures that I took of his family. They're great and they're on their walls and we just had a fun laugh over that. Anyway, so how do I make the crossover from being the Boosters representative into being a photographer into them wanting to hire me? So it's a long road. Let me tell you, this isn't something that happens overnight. What I look at right now is I look at it, I'm planting seeds. I'm making connections. We all know the Dale Carnegie book, people do business with people they know, like, and trust. So right now I'm getting people to know, like, and trust me. And they're going to know that if I do a great job with the Boosters, that I will do a great job with them and take good care of them in my business, because that's who I am. That's the core of who I am, of wanting to take good care of people. So what I do when I'm meeting people for the first time, I meet all of our sponsors. I try to, at least face to face. I say, hey, we're meeting in a Starbucks. Can't wait. I do this as a reminder, maybe the day before. Can't wait to meet you tomorrow at Starbucks at 10 o'clock. Hey, here is the link to my LinkedIn page, so you know what I look like. Okay. So it depends. Sometimes I send them my LinkedIn page, but now I think I'm going to start sending them my actual web page, my contact sheet on my actual web page. You could do this too. When you're meeting people for the first time, send them your contact page. Make sure you have a really great image of yourself on that contact page and it says what you do. Now, all you're doing is sending it for the connection, and it's a real easy way to send so someone knows what you look like. But just send that. Say, hey, looking forward to our meeting tomorrow. Here's a picture of what I look like so you can't miss me. all that. It's so easy. And then guess what? As soon as they sit down, they say, that was a great picture on your website. Is that something that you do? Do you do that for other companies? How long have you been a photographer? And that's what you're starting with. But that wasn't why you're meeting, but it's a great way for you to connect with others in your community. So that's what I do for that. Then for my email signature and my boosters account, I do have a link to my personal Instagram if people want to connect and link with me there. And then as the season goes on, I will be talking to these companies off and on, often. So I'll be able to do that. And then get this, the boosters organization has a membership to the Chamber of Commerce in my city. And I can go to any event that I want to the Chamber of Commerce representing them. And it's a great way to get my feet in the door and meet more people representing the booster program. But ultimately, I'm representing myself and my photography business. Now, some of you might think, oh my gosh, this is a really long run. This is a really long runway in order to gain some business. And it is, but let me tell you something. Since I have not posted on social media faithfully for probably about a year, about a month, because I've been too busy, right? My business right now, I have more bookings than ever through great SEO and connecting in the community. Those two things alone are going to make this let me have an incredible, incredible year. So don't discount volunteering in a heartfelt way and how it can benefit your business. Now, I hope everything that I've talked about today has helped you open your eyes to how you can use your gifts to serve others and also build your business at the same time. If you have any questions, if you have any comments, you want to reach out to me in any way, please connect with me on Instagram. It's at the Dori Howell, super easy. You can also get that link in our show notes page. I love hearing from people who listen to the podcast. If you have any questions, any show ideas, you have a guest for the podcast, I would love to hear it. Thank you so much for spending your time with me today. I really appreciate it. And we will see you next time on the Focal Points Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to head over to the show notes page at blog.enphoto.com/podcast. That's blog.enphoto.com/podcast. Get the download for this program and link to a wonderful, wonderful 75% off special for your first sample order from Enphoto. You don't want to miss it.